Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. We study today Sefer Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. We begin with the words of the Chazon Ish, who points out that our shadow becomes smaller as we come closer to the light. He states this in terms of the anivot, the humility, that grows the closer we come to the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, the smaller we feel. This is, of course, the reference of ourselves contextualized vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. But if we can apply this also to our approach of learning of the lives and of the Torah, of our Ishei Tanakh, our Gdolei Olam, David Melech Yisrael, who is one of the greatest figures in Jewish history, as we approach the great light that was David, our shadow becomes smaller. And in learning the episodes in the life of David that perhaps seem puzzling to us, or would we use the word difficult? They are difficult to us only in so much as we impose our own conceptions or our own assumptions or our own 2026 mentality upon our understanding of them. If we approach these chapters with the humility of how small our shadow is vis-a-vis the light of David HaMelech, then we're able to suspend again our preconceptions or our misconceptions and try to be as small as possible in approaching these chapters, guided by the way Chazal, in their greatness, understood and perceived the truth of what is being taught. And so as we begin Perek Yud Aleph, it's important for us to hang on to that humility, that smallness, in allowing our own mentality or perception to be guided by the greater perception of Chazal and how they explain and frame the psukim we're about to learn. There will be what is called the chet of David HaMelech that we'll learn about in Perek Yud Aleph. There clearly was on David's level some chet, which explains the very intensive tshuva process that David undertook in its aftermath. However, we quote Chazal Masechet Shabbat Nun Vav, Kala Omer David Chata Eino Ela Toe. Any person who says that David sinned is making a mistake. Well, the pasuk seems very clear that he sinned, and so how do we reconcile the words of Chazal? And the understanding is that there was on David's level in his understanding of his relationship vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lack or a fault for which he underwent intensive tshuva for many, many years. However, if we think that his chet is according to our barometer or understanding or ruler, then we are mistaken. And again, we make ourselves small to allow the understanding of Chazal to understand on David's exalted level what the shortcoming was in terms of what was expected from him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We begin with Siyata Dishmaya, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi l'seshuvas hashana le'es tseis hamlachim. Vayishlach David es Yoav ve'es avadav imo ve'es kal Yisrael. Vayashchisu es bnei Amon ve'yatzuru al Rabba ve'David yoshev b'Yerushalayim. And as we'll recall from the previous perek, Yoav and his forces had been highly successful in leading to the retreat of Aram when they came to the aid of Amon in fighting against Klal Yisrael. If we'll recall, Aram retreated, regrouped, came back, and then retreated again. Amon remained, however, walled in the city. And at this point, 1 year later, David dispatches Yoav to finish off the business left undone from that battle and to go to battle against Amon, who still remain. David remains in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Bet, as he remains in Yerushalayim, Vayihi le'es ha'erev, at evening time, Vayakam David me'al mishkavo, Vayishalech ha'gag beis ha'melech, Vayar isharot chetzes me'al ha'gag, Vayisha tovas mar'eh me'od. And again, with the understanding of Chazal, at this point, we find that David went up to his roof. And there he saw a woman washing. As Chazal and Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin point out, clearly a woman of the caliber of Bathsheba would be washing behind a mechitza, some sort of screen or some sort of shelter to keep private. Chazal tells us that the Satan disguised himself as a bird. David threw an arrow to catch the bird, which took down the mechitza and broke. And David then saw this woman washing. The kliyakar links this in parallel to the description of David himself, of Yifei Naim Vitovoi, where it is said of David that all who saw David would remember that which he learned. People saw David and were inspired by just looking at him to greater aspirations in spirituality. That parallels Bathsheba, where one who looked upon her also had great desire to improve, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Gimel, Vayishlach David Vayidrosh La'isha. David went to inquire about this woman. Vayidrosh La'isha, according to the Radak, he asks if she was Bathsheba, Bas Eliam, because it seems he expected or knew through his Ruach HaKodesh that this was the woman who was intended for him to partner with him to give birth to the ultimate Mashiach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Further, the Malbim, Lidrosh Le'isha, to find out if she is Pnuya or not. Is this a woman who is currently married to somebody else, or is she available? And here we need some very important background, which is, of course, this was a time of war. At a time of war, the custom in those days was that before heading out to war, every soldier, every Jewish warrior would give to his wife a get, would give to his wife a divorce document to prevent the problem of agunot, to prevent the terrible dilemma of a man who would be lost at battle and the woman left behind would not know or have proof of his death and thus would be chained in the uncertainty of is she married or not? And in that uncertainty, would be not allowed to marry again. To prevent that very painful situation, there's a difference of opinion between Rashi and the Tosfot of what exactly was the nature of this get. According to the Baalei Tosfot, it was a get gamul. It was an absolute divorce where every man divorced his wife before he went out to battle and they remarried his own wife when he returned. If, God forbid, he would be lost in battle, the woman would be free to marry somebody else. According to Rashi, there was a get bitnai, where there was a conditional divorce document that stated that if the man did not return from battle, then retroactively the woman would be divorced. If he returned, they remained married. And so when David asks this question, it's very relevant now in a time of war. Is this a woman whose husband has gone out to battle, in which case she is available to marry David? Vayomer, and he's told, Halozos Bathsheba Bas Eliam Eshes Uriah Hachiti. This is Bathsheba. Bas Eliam, Chazal explained, she is actually the granddaughter of Achitophel, who was the Rebbe of David, which will be a point that will be significant later on. And she is the wife of Uriah Hachiti, identified as Hachiti according to the Radak, either because he was a convert from the nation of Ches, or because he was a Jew who lived there. The Alshich gives the background, taking up the line that he is actually a convert, that this Uriah was the attendant of Goliath, the giant slain by David. And when David slayed Goliath, the sword of Goliath was stuck inside of him and David could not get it out. He promised to Uriah that if he would help him get the sword out, he would give him a Jewish woman as a wife. It is said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was displeased with this and said, David, you are giving out Benot Israel, Chayecha, She'ani noten lo et shelcha, V'hi Bathsheba. I will give this man the woman destined for you, and this is Bathsheba. Now understanding, as we said, that halachically, this woman was now divorced from her husband, either absolutely, because Uriah would have given Bathsheba a get before he went out to battle, or conditionally, if he did not return, we find that David understands that this woman is available. Pasuk Dalid, Vayishlach David Malachim, he sends messengers, Vayikacheha, and takes her, Vatavo Elav Vayishkav Ima, they have intimate marital relations, Vihimis Kadeshes Mitum Asa, she is not Nida, the Pasuk points out, she is Tahora, Vatashav El Beisa, and she goes back to her home. The Malbim takes this statement of Vihimis Kadeshes Mitum Asa, the Pasuk making clear that she was not Nida, but she was Tahora at the time she was with David, that we can infer from here that there was not the more serious sin of an Eshet Ish taking place. If the Pasuk stresses that she was Tahora mi Nida Ta, that she was not Tme'ah with Nida at this time, clearly the greater sin of David taking a woman who was at the time married to somebody else did not take place, or else the more minor issue would not be highlighted by the pasuk. The Malbim all along, and we won't delve into this deeply here because this is the overview, but the Malbim throughout brings the evidences from the pasuk on a pshat level that throughout it is rationally more plausible, based on the clues from the pasuk, to derive that there was no sin of eshet ish that took place, than to go to the further lengths to think that there was. The question is, if this all was legitimate and correct, halachically, then what exactly was the problem? And this is where the Mefarshim some on a deeper level, which again, we can't delve into completely, but we'll try to touch upon, begin to explain behind the scenes of what more was expected from David Melech Yisrael. Chazal and Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin Omid Aleph point out, Ru'uya haita bat sheva bat Eliam le David misheshet mibreshit. Bat sheva was destined to be the wife of David, the mother of Shlomo and ultimately of Mashiach, from the very creation of the world. Ela she'achla paga. Like Adam HaRishon, who ate prematurely from the tree, so too, Ela she'achla paga, David ate fruit that was not yet ripe. Bat sheva was meant to be his. But he acted too quickly, and he acted in a way that could potentially lead to a chilul Hashem. Chazal also points out the idea that David requested a nisayon, requested to be tested, behavior that is not recommended for a Jew. And these and other statements of Chazal, not for now, are some of the understandings of where or what more was demanded from David HaMelech, that he acted prematurely in a way that could be misconstrued by his generation, and perhaps lead to a chilul Hashem, and then, of course, some more ideas on the more cosmic level that we won't get to right here, right now. This being said, why or how did David make this mistake? Again, just to touch upon, Rav Dessler quotes the Sifrei Machshava, who speak of the idea that his union with Bathsheba would be another critical step in the birthing of Shlomo, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and ultimately the birth of Mashiach. Many of the Balei Machshava point out that when we're dealing with events that will lead to the birth of Mashiach, this is so critical to the tafkid of the world that the Satan would come to sabotage. And so at various steps along the way, whether it's Lavan with his daughters, whether it's Yehuda v'Tamar, whether it's David and Bathsheba and various others, we find murky or difficult to understand circumstances surrounding their union, which is the effort to confuse or distract the Satan from the very kadosh beginnings or birthings of the ultimate Mashiach. With this, it seems that if this had been the end of the story, it could have been the end of the story. However, Pasuk Hey, Vatahal Ha'isha, what was not expected is that Bathsheba actually conceived a child in this time with David. Vatishlach Vatageid LeDavid Vatomil Hara Anochi. David now hears that Bathsheba is expecting a child, and as such he understands that it must appear to prevent a chilul Hashem, that the child is Uriah's. Because while halachically his actions are above board, he understands the chilul Hashem that could come out if it would seem that Bathsheba conceived a child while her husband was away at the battlefield. So plan B will be to be sure that her husband, Uriah, comes back from the battlefield, that she will be intimate with her husband, and if she is expecting, it will be assumed that the child is his. What about that divorce? Well, as we said, according to the Balei Tosfot, men went out to the battlefield, divorced their wives, came back, and remarried, in which case there's no problem. Uriah would come back, remarry Bathsheba, and again, all would be above board. The child would be assumed to be his. If it is as the position of Rashi, that this was a conditional get, then David has a problem. Because if Uriah comes back from the battlefield, the get is no longer legally binding, in which case, retroactively, David has been with an eshet ish, in which case he has sinned greatly, only retroactively, because the plan did not go as planned. In that case, says the Malbim, David is ready to endure whatever is the punishment or the fallout of this terrible sin, to prevent the chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name that would come about were this deed to be uncovered. So the next effort will be David's to be sure that Uriah comes home and is with his wife, which again retroactively will prevent any Chilul Hashem from taking place were news to come out that Bathsheba has conceived with David. Pasuk Vav. Vayishlach David el Yoav. David sends to Yoav the general. Shlach elai es Uriah achiti. Vayishlach Yoav es Uriah el David. And David then calls Yoav to send Uriah to him. Pasuk Zayin. Vayavo Uriah elav. Vayishal David l'shlom Yoav v'l'shlom ha'am v'l'shlom ha'milchama. David asks Uriah of what are events on the battlefield. Vayomer David l'Uriah. Reid l'veischa u'chatz raglecha. Vayetze Uriah mi'beis ha'melech v'teitze acharav mas'as ha'melech. David brings Uriah home from the battlefield, invites him to go home, indeed sends him tremendous feasting and food in the hope that he will become lighthearted enough to return home and be intimate with his wife. Instead, Pasuk Tet, Vayishkav Uriah Pesach Beis HaMelech, Es Kol Avdei Adonav Velo Yarad El Beiso. Uriah ignores the command of David to return home and instead sleeps very publicly with the rest of David's servants and does not go home, sleeps with them at the entrance to the house of the Melech. David is told that Uriah has not gone home, whereupon David summons Uriah to ask him, why have you not gone to your home? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Uriah el David, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim ba'sukos, v'Adoni Yoav v'Avdei Adoni al pnei ha'sadeh chonim, v'Ani avo el beisi. The Aron Brit Hashem, the soldiers of Klal Yisrael, Yoav my master are on the battlefield, and I will go home and delight with my wife. Chayecha v'chay nefshecha im eses hadavar hazeh. I swear I will not do this. Words that sound very high-minded. But as the Malbim points out, they actually represent a merida b'malchut, a rebellion against the malchut of David. Halachically, chayav adam lefkod et ishto b'sha'a shaba min haderech. A man who returns from the battlefield halachically has the obligation to be intimate with his wife. Further, as we said, according to the Malbim, Uriah here is rebelling against the direct command of the king. David publicly told Uriah to return home and be with his wife, and Uriah chooses a different path. That is not allowed in the face of a direct command from the king. Further, David offered to Uriah mas'as ha'melech, all the ingredients needed for a feast, which Uriah refused publicly. And third, Uriah referred to Yoav the general as Adoni, my master, in the face of his true master, who was David. All three of these constitute merida b'malchut, which make, at this point, Uriah chayav mita. He is actually deserving of death for in this way refusing the direct command of the king. In Psukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, we see the efforts of David again to entice Uriah with food, with wine, to go home and be with his wife. Again, he refuses and publicly sleeps outside with the other soldiers. Plan B, to get Uriah to go back home to be with Bathsheba to prevent the Chilul Hashem, has not worked. Now David comes to plan C, which is that retroactively, to make his union with Bathsheba halachically legitimate, Uriah must die so that the get that exists conditionally or absolutely between himself and Bathsheba is now legally binding, in which case there would not be a problem with David having married Bathsheba. She is already expecting. If Uriah will die and David will quickly marry her, it will be assumed that the child is his. To remind ourselves, according to the Malbim, at this point, Uriah is chayav mita, deserves to be killed for being morid b'malchut, for rebelling against the command of the king David, and as such, orchestrating his death is within the halacha of a king, within the jurisdiction of the king. And this is how it is done. Pasuk Yudalid. Vayhi v'boker, in the morning, vayachtov David sefer el Yoav, vayishlach biyad Uriah. David writes a message to Yoav and sends it with Uriah, carrying his own death message, to his general Yoav. Vayachtov basefer leimor, havu es Uriah el mul pnei ha'milchama ha'chazaka, v'shavta me'acharav v'neikav ames. Place Uriah in a vulnerable place on the battlefield, leave him unprotected, inevitably he will be hit and he will be killed. Where he is chayav mita, he must be killed. He will do so protecting Klal Yisrael and die al Kiddush Hashem, a zchut he did not necessarily deserve, but which was granted to him by David. Vayhi b'shmo Yoav el ha'ir, Vaitenis Uriah el Hamakoma Shayadaki Anshi Chayel Sham. Yoav fulfills this command and places Uriah in the thick of the battlefield. Vayetzu Anshi Hair Vayelachamu es Yoav, Vayipol min ha'ame Evdei David, Vayamas Gam Uriah Hachiti. Yoav here is in battle, and his people go out and fight. And in fact, there were other casualties, other Jews who fell in this battle, including Uriah Hachiti. Psukim Yud Chet through Chaf Aleph are the instructions of Yoav to a messenger to go tell David that there has been a battle, that many died. Most significantly, Uriah Hachiti has been killed. Pasuk Chaf Bet, Vayelech HaMalach, the messenger goes, Vayavor V'yaged LeDavid Es Kol Asher Shlacho Yoav. And he tells to David, and Psukim Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalid, are the explanation of the words of the messenger from Yoav to David, telling him indeed of the death of Uriah Hachiti. Whereupon at this point, certainly, Bathsheba is completely free and available. David will be able to marry her when it is publicly known that Uriah has died, and the pregnancy she is carrying will be attributed to David and not to Uriah in what would appear to be completely legitimate and above board. This seems like the perfect plan. The problem is, as Chazal tell us, in Bamidbar Rabbah and in the Tanchuma, that when Yoav dispatched Uriah into the heat of the battlefield, the other warriors saw that their strongest, bravest soldier was being put in a vulnerable position, and they wanted to kill Yoav. He had a potential mutiny on his hands. To defend himself, Her'alahem Yoav et haktav. Yoav showed them the command of David, instructing that Uriah should be placed in a position where he would be killed, in which case it became publicly known that this was orchestrated by David. We'll come back to that. However, in Pasuk Chaf Hei we find, Vayomer David el Hamalach, says David to the messenger, Kosomar el Yoav, Al yira be'einecha es hadavar hazeh, it should not be negative in your eyes. This is what happens. Ki chazo v'chazeh tochal hecharev. It happens in war that strong people die. Milchamtecha el ha'ir v'harsa v'chazkehu. Continue to fight. Pasuk Chavav. Vatishma eshes Uriah, ki meis Uriah isha, vatispod al ba'ala. But Sheva hears that Uriah has been killed. She publicly mourns. Vayavo ha'evel, and the time of mourning passes. Vayishlach David vayasfa. El Beso, David brings Bathsheba to his home, Vatihilo Leisha. And again, seemingly above board, seemingly without any backstory, she is now his wife, Vateled Lo Ben. And she gives birth to the child she conceived in the night she was with him before Uriah had died. And while again, as we have striven to understand, halachically, this was completely legitimate, according to what is demanded of David Melech Yisrael, Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, Vayera Hadavar Asher Asa David Be'enei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected more of David, and his actions found ill favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sefer Shmuel Bet is dedicated by Hillel and Leah Lightman, Lidei Nishmot, their parents, Shmuel ben David, Chana bat Yaakov Chaim, Kolonimus ben Chaim, and Saratema bat Menachem Mendel.